We want to welcome you this evening to Living Hope Baptist Church, Bryan. And we are so thankful that you are here with us this evening. Guest, if you would please, there's a little beige color card right there in the rack in front of you. If you just fill that out and let us have a record of your attending, that is all we desire from you. Our members are good to take care of the financial needs of our church. And so as the offering plate comes by later, if you would just drop that card in there, that's all we want from you. Now, members, those of you who are members of Living Hope Bryan, we need a couple of things from you. We need y'all to sit to the front. We are getting a lot of visitors, and they're coming in and they're not having a place to sit. They're not finding chairs easily. So we need y'all to sit in the first 10 rows, members, and we need y'all to move in towards the center aisle when you come in. And so if y'all would do that starting next week, our guests would appreciate that. Now, we have a couple of other announcements. If you turn over to the back of your worship guide, there's some announcements there. I want to highlight two that are not on there. First, you see this number up here in red, this 201? A lot of y'all look at that and you say, what is that? That means they need help in the nursery. So if while we're in here singing and worshiping, all of a sudden you see in the upper right-hand corner of the screen 201, that means that we need for a few of y'all to go back to the nursery and help back there. And so to do that, if you haven't already filled out a background check, we need you to fill one out, and those are available on the back table. The other thing that I want to share with you that's not on the back of your worship guide this week. No, not that one. That one. This evening, over here in the fellowship hall, just right down the hallway, they are having a Valentine's banquet for St. Michael's, and it's a fundraiser for St. Michael's. And they are doing a second seating for us at 7:30. So when we get through from church, all we have to do is walk right down there. You don't have to have any fancy Valentine's reservations. You know, husbands like John, you know, you go, oh no, I forgot to make a reservation. Just, hey, you just lean over and tell your wife, hey, I decided that we're going to go eat over here at St. Michael's. $6 a plate, man, you can't beat it. They're going to have, and if you didn't sign up beforehand, that's okay. They have enough food for us. And so after church, if you just want to go right down here and get a meal for $6, you're going to go out to eat anyway. Might as well do it here and help support St. Michael's. Okay. One of the ones on the back of your worship guide here, this urgent, we need people to work. Okay, if everybody who's a member of Living Hope Bryan works, then the load's a lot easier for all of us. So prayerfully consider which of these teams you would like to work on, and then get in contact with the team leader that's mentioned there. And lastly, the mission trips that are going on during spring break. The Hurricane Ike relief down in Beaumont, Edinburgh, Texas work, Nicaragua, Malaysia, and then the important work that's going on here in Bryan College Station with the Bible camps. Those will be in the afternoon. And if you want to find out more about those, there's a table in the back that will have the mission information. And you can meet with someone back there and they will be glad to sign you up. Thank you.
Would the children come up for children's chat? How you doing? So can you guys tell me the name of our church body?
Living Hope Bryan.
What was that?
Living Hope Bryan.
Living Hope Bryan. What do you guys think we came up with that name?
Living Hope and Nathan Bryan.
We're in Bryan. That's where we got the Bryan part. But where's the Living Hope?
Living Hope
Did we just make that up, you think?
We came from the original.
Oh, we did come from Living Hope in College Station. That's one reason, but do you know where they got that name?
No.
They got that name out of the Bible. I'm going to read you the verse that they get the name from. It's in 1 Peter. Hang on, let me find it. It's in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." It says he has caused us to be born into a living hope through Jesus Christ. Guys, Jesus Christ is not dead. He is alive. Every day in our lives, he impacts us. He gives us grace. He shows us love. He shows us what we should do and what we shouldn't do. But to know all those things, we have to read this and we have to pray to him. And so he can tell us what we need to do so that we can love him and honor him. All right? And so when you hear the name Living Hope, think about that Jesus Christ is our living hope. He's alive and well and active in our lives. All right? So let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are our living hope. Father, that you are alive and well, Father, that you went to the cross and you died. Father, on the third day, you rose again. And so, Father, I pray that we would just remember that daily and just fall on the power of your resurrection, Father, that our sin has been paid for. Father, be with us tonight. Open our hearts and our minds that we may know you more and we may worship you. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
John, I see you back there rubbing your hands like, come on, what are we waiting on? What? Yeah. Hey, I want y'all to know something. Did you know that there's a lost world around us just waiting to see what is it about Christians that's so different? Did you know they actually have to have a reason to celebrate that's tangible and real right in front of them? And it only lasts for a while things are going well. Only when things are going well. But for the Christian life, through persecution, through difficulties, through trials, we haven't lost a thing. We still have things to celebrate.
Yes.
Tonight, as we begin this song, I was so enthused to hear you guys just singing and clapping and praising God a while ago. It was incredible. More. Mm-hmm. More.
Amen.
Okay. Y'all have a living hope. It doesn't say in verse 3, praise be to the God and Father of the guy that used to be our Lord Jesus Christ. It says, who is? Who is our Lord Jesus Christ? He's alive. He's well. He elected you. He chose you from amongst this world to be his children, giving you an inheritance. Man, y'all have a lot to celebrate. And tonight, if there's someone lost here and you see these people going crazy, understand it's Jesus Christ. You want to know why they're doing this, come up and ask them. But you're going to see tonight of people that are wild and crazy for God. As we started this series last week, we talked about practical grace. Practical. Sensible, realistic, applicable, no-nonsense, useful, rational, possible, solid, workable, fit for action. And then grace, the unmerited favor and provision of God towards an undeserving and unfit but repentant person. Grace. For a long time, it's been misunderstood. What is grace? What is practical grace? What does that have to do with my life now? Jesus died for my sins, and so now I'm going to be in heaven, so what? Last week, we found out that God has a purpose for us, and God is still continuing to move grace through us. This practical grace takes the life of the Christian and makes a lifelong transformation into the people God desires. and who worship him and give him glory in all they do. Does that sound like you right now? Do you worship him and give him glory in everything? When we feel alone, practical grace. When we doubt, practical grace. When we are weak, practical grace. When we're afraid, practical grace. Today we'll continue to see how this grace has worked out in our lives as we celebrate our living hope. Listen as Peter reminds us about what we have to celebrate. We're going to be in 1 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 3. On your notes, you have a place to make some notes, or on your bulletin, you have a place to make some notes. Feel free to. Anything that I have to say that's from me, you don't need to write that down. If you hear something that impacts you the way only God could, he happened to speak through me somehow at that moment, and so feel free to write that down. You'll probably know the difference between the two. One's life-changing, and one you just wish you could go on home. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I have to stop right here. Y'all see that little exclamation point at the end of that? Now, what's funny is when I was teaching my children to read, although Melody did most of it, I was always bothered by this little exclamation point when they read and got there, because here's how it would go. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth. I said, whoa, whoa, whoa. What? What, Dad? Did you see the exclamation? Yeah? So I'd have them read it again, and they'd put a little longer pause there. What's up with that? You know, we all know what's supposed to happen with that little thing there. But I think in our own lives, we don't even live this exclamation point. Have you ever thought about having an exclamation point in your life? What does that look like? A while ago, I was hearing some people in the back going crazy. Okay, that's really cool to be up here and hearing y'all back there. I heard exclamation point. Yeah! Yes, Lord! Exclamation point. That's what that is. Praise be to the Lord and God of our God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes! That's what Peter's saying. Who's he writing this to? People that are scattered all over the place. They're scared to death. They're going through difficult times. And Peter's saying, praise be to God. Praise be to God. He's got excitement for us. He's telling us, don't give up. Pay attention to what's going on. Like I told you a while ago, this is our living hope. It's not just a guy who used to live. But understand, Peter knew Jesus Christ in person. Peter dealt with the death of his Lord and Savior. And Peter dealt with the resurrection. Peter got to see the resurrected Jesus Christ. Wow. Y'all, that's pretty cool. Okay? Now we're going to talk about where we fit into this in just a little bit. Actually, we fit in real close now. But understand who it is talking here. This is Peter. Believing. He knows what he's talking about. And it says a little further right after that, in his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Wow. New birth. Okay, now does that bother some of y'all? Ladies, if you've had children, does new birth sound like an appealing thing? Let's do it again because it was so fun the first time. Okay. Now, this one's better. This one's so much better. It doesn't deal with all that junk that y'all have to get. It's not physical pain. What is new birth? New birth. I don't know. It's kind of like becoming a whole new person. It's kind of like having the sins lifted off of your life that hold you down, the stuff that drags you down, the things that you can't even go forward from day to day in. It's removed. This stuff that wears on your spirit, your soul being depressed, pressed down, feeling like you have no hope left in this world. New birth takes that and pulls you out from that. It's a term also called regeneration. It's a change brought about by God on man to change control from sin. He's now controlled by the Spirit. Instead of sin directing us away from God, the Spirit-controlled life is drawn to God. While outward appearance remains the same, a new birth has happened in your very heart, mind, and soul. To desire and to seek out God as your only hope. Our lives are described as changed to such an extent that we might as well have been reborn, starting over in a new life based on the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ as the power that pulled us from the womb of this world and out of sin's control. Do you see him? So you can't pull yourself out of that. You can't just decide, well, I'm going to get this new birth, this regeneration. You can't. There's no way. Tell me how. It doesn't even make sense. I mean, Nicodemus shows up and asks Jesus, what are you talking about, this new birth? And he's just confused by it. But one thing I want you to understand in John 3:3, where he's saying that, Jesus tells him, I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. Now, if you're sitting here and you're listening to this and going, well, I don't know that I've experienced this new birth, but I'm a Christian. Okay, I enjoy that you've created a new definition that's outside of Scripture, but really, you're just kidding yourself. You're deceived. New birth, regeneration means your life has changed from the old and has become something new. You're radically different. Well, now that sounds kind of mean, especially the person here who says, well, I'm born again, but I mean, it takes a while for this to take hold. I mean, it's been 14 years now, and I know one day he'll make a change in my life. Really. You know, me and a young man this week were talking about change in our lives that God brings about. It's hard to find in Scripture where God took a long, long time to get someone to take sin away from their life, or when he came in to someone's life, and he called them to a life of change, that they said, give me about 40 years. Now, I know there were people who did take a little while for his character to be changed. But, you know, when God showed up, people always left changed. Never can you enter into the very presence of God and leave unchanged. That's just the truth. Tonight, are you in the presence of God? Well, I'm not God, so don't worry, you know, I was once called God, but that's because I did God's voice in a skit in a play. But it was really funny because I wasn't up on the stage. I was just back there speaking. No one saw me, and I was talking to some people out in the hallway, and this girl walks up and says, you're God. And I said, yes, I am. Thank you. But I hope God's like, I know he's got a humor, it's funny. He knows I don't mean I'm God. But listen, y'all, this is so incredible. We like to have fun as Christians. We have jokes. We have jokes, really. They're good jokes. I don't know any, but you know, I've never been good at that. But listen, y'all, we have so much to celebrate. When you pay attention to what he's saying here, in his great mercy, he has given us new birth. Think about that. Do you understand what you've been saved from? We're talking about hell. Well, I don't believe in hell. Well, okay, but still, you're going to hell. Okay? You don't have to believe in it to go there. If you want to jump off a cliff, well, I don't believe I'll die. Well, you're going to, even if you don't believe it. Okay? There's some truths in this world, and that's one of them. There is a heaven, there is a hell. And just because you don't believe it, doesn't make it not so. Okay? That is where you're going to go. His mercy, though, says even though you deserve hell, death, I love you so much that I want to call you from that. I want to draw you from the womb of this world into a new birth. And that new birth removes that sin as control of your life. He says, you don't have to sin anymore. And when you do, grace. Grace. Okay? But he doesn't mean, now just go live any way you want to and you'll be covered. No. Because that also means you never took him as Lord of your life. You said, I'll accept it, but I don't want to follow you. And that's kind of part of the deal. Except Jesus Christ is your Lord. And so he pulls us out of this and brings us into new life, into this living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That's kind of an important part. Jesus Christ died. Absolutely died. Okay? Some people like to say he didn't and all this, but come on. Y'all, really? He was beaten. He was beaten so badly that I don't know how he lived even then. God had to keep him alive for a while. I don't even know how he made it to the cross. I mean, really getting something stuck into your side and just the whole impact of what the cross does to you. No one lives through that. I'm sorry. Those guys were professionals at what they did, those who hung him up there. He was dead, really. Laid in the grave for 3 days. And what's amazing is when he rose again and he was amongst his disciples, from all that I can tell, they were able to recognize him. They weren't able to recognize him on the cross because he was so beaten up. It says in Isaiah, he won't be able to be recognized. All that I know, he had the scars on his hands, the hole in his side. Okay, that's weird. He's walking around with the hole in his side. But where were all the other scars and tears and rips all over his body? Well, I guess they healed up real fast. You know what? Taking the evidence of just that by itself, why are you fighting it? I mean, you're trying to use all sorts of logic to say there's not a God, and it takes more faith to believe he doesn't exist than that he does. That's just crazy. Open your eyes to the world around you out here. Do you really believe this just popped into existence? Oh, yeah, it did. God spoke and it popped into existence. So, yeah. He says that, except he says he did it from nothing. Let the scientists try that one. Here, we're going to give you nothing. Now make something. No, can't happen. The second thing we have to celebrate is our secure inheritance. Inheritance. Okay? Some people get excited about that, especially if they have a rich uncle or aunt. Inheritance. Oh, they're dying? Oh. Am I in the will? Okay. You're in the will. All right. This is better. Oh. If you like gold and jewelry and money and all that, man, how long is that going to last? At most, up to the point you die. At most. And then, okay, I remember the guy that got buried in his car and he had all sorts of other things brought with it. Hey, I'm sorry, car's still there. It's very rusty now. Okay. This inheritance, well, listen. And into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you. That's because we'd abuse it down here. Kept in heaven. What does this perish thing mean? Okay? Perish, that means it's not going to last. It won't be here too long. It would die or not exist anymore. Spoil. Have you ever cleaned out the stuff in your refrigerator that's been there a little too long? That's my inheritance. Oh. Can you carry that outside, please? No, this one, it won't happen. Nothing happens to it. Fade. I've seen some of these things left outside. Plastic, you know, it fades over time. You buy it, beautiful, brand new, children's stuff, all red and yellow. And after a while, it's kind of, it's not so pretty. Not this inheritance, y'all. This is being stored up for us in heaven, can't be taken away, will always be there for you. In Romans 8:17, it says, "Now, if we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory." This is the very theme of the rights of the children granted from a father. Our inheritance is not guaranteed from anything that we've done, but is given because of a loving father who desires the best for his children. Well, this gift is given because of love. You didn't deserve it somehow. You didn't do some really cool thing, and then God says, "Wow, job well done. Let me put you in here for this." Way to go. As a matter of fact, I once heard it put this way. You know, we try to work ourselves toward heaven, and we see some of these people who, man, I could never be like them. They're so righteous. Okay? Let's just put it this way. In earthly terms, and this is just going to be, it's going to be grossly inadequate, but let's just say the moon is heaven. And the earth is where we're at, which happens to fit because that's where we're at. Now, all you got to do is jump from the earth to the moon to get there. Okay? So let's compare ourselves. So I'm going to jump about maybe 2 feet, maybe 3 if I'm playing basketball. I've been working out. Now, some of these big-time basketball players who I could never be like, I mean, they're incredible. They're jumping 5 feet in the air. Wow. Or some of, you know, Billy Graham, man, he probably jumped 10 feet in the air. Now, which of us is closest to heaven? I want to measure this down to the inches there. I'm sorry, it really doesn't matter. Okay, it's a long way still to heaven. Nothing I do is going to get me there. I can't jump to the moon. I'm sorry, the cow did it apparently. I can't do it. All right? I hope we see that cow there one day. I'll ask him. If you don't know what I'm talking about, ask some of the parents. They'll tell you the story. He jumped over the moon, missed it. Anyway. Y'all, this is incredible. God is calling us into this inheritance that he has saved up, that we cannot gain on our own, but it's because of his mercy. He looks at you and says, "I know how evil you are. I know how awful you are. I have given my son on the cross. He has died for you and rose again as a perfect sacrifice because death is required for your sin." And Jesus stepped up and says, "I'll die for him. I'll die for her. I'll die for you. I'll die for you." By the way, if you're sitting there, why did he point right at me? I was just pointing kind of over that way, or this way. You understand? He chose that. He was obedient to his Father. And he took your place. And now you stand with the blood of Christ having cleansed you, because blood was required for cleansing. And you can stand before God perfectly. "But I've been so bad." Your badness never equals the goodness of Jesus Christ. Sorry. He's got you covered. Think of the worst thing you could do. Sorry. No, I'm not sorry. I'm glad. Y'all, there's not a single person in here that can't come to know Jesus Christ, whose life cannot be transformed through this regeneration, this new birth. Next, we celebrate our living hope because God is our shield. God's a warrior, the shield guy. Now, what does him being a shield have to do with it? Now, let's read this. "Who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time." Now, what did that just say? It says, through faith. So faith is an active part of this. We are shielded by God's power until the salvation, the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. Faith. This whole idea of shielding is like placing a garrison around a town. Do you believe God would do that for you? Do you think he would really shield you? Well, now, first of all, let's not jump to conclusions here. I'm not saying you can't be harmed. Okay? If you're a player of computer games, you don't get to type in a cheat code and get full ultimate shielding power that no one can blast down. Okay? Okay, I just found out who plays the games. Y'all laughed. Only a few of you. That's good. This shield means your eternal life will not be taken from you. Can't happen. No way. No how. Even as I grabbed this strange paper that fell out of my Bible a while ago, just happened to show up. I want to read you a couple of scriptures. Romans 8, 28, and several after that. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those He predestined, He also called. Those He called, He also justified. Those He justified, He also glorified. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also, along with Him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is it? Who is He that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, He was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? By the way, that means somebody's going to kill you. As it is written, for your sake we shall face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. God shields you. There is nothing that can remove you from His love. Nothing that can remove you out of that inheritance. Death has no power over you. Not a bit. Don't fear it. Now, I know it's something we haven't experienced. I've seen some of y'all that maybe you think, well, death is kind of still around. But, y'all, death, it's not a major deal. When you understand what Scripture has said to us about our life in eternity. Difficulties in our daily lives, we'll talk about these in just a moment, have no power. You don't have to get up and live in fear each day. Think about this. God's your shield. That also means He's present all day long with you, watching over you and protecting you and keeping you from moving anywhere out of His grasp. You couldn't if you wanted to. It's incredible. Hebrews 10, 37, he says, "No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him, more than conquerors who loved us. For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Remember those earlier days after you had received the light, when you stood your ground in a great contest in the face of suffering. Sometimes you were publicly exposed to insult and persecution. At other times you stood side by side with those who were so treated. You sympathized with those in prison and joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property because you knew that you yourselves had better and lasting possessions. So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what He has promised. For in just a very little while, He who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteous one will live by faith. And if he shrinks back, I will not be pleased with him. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who believe and are saved." Y'all, do you have hope? Do you have any hope? I know you do. I see it in your lives. I know many of you. I've seen God working through you. We also can celebrate because Jesus Christ will return, just like you were hearing there. What does that mean for us? Well, that means everything that the Bible has said is going to be completed and made true when Jesus returns and takes us back to heaven. It's really our home. It's where we belong. You wonder why you don't get along real well here? It's not what you were made for. You're made for heaven. Okay? But as Jesus Christ did, so we do also. We are here to glorify our Father and pull along as many people out of hell as we can when we go. By sharing the gospel. And the gospel is what has power, not your incredible words, not your incredible argumentative capabilities, but the gospel. It says, "In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed." Proof. Did y'all catch that? It says that your faith may be proved genuine. Ever wonder if you're saved, if you have faith? Here it is. He says this will prove it. Sufferings. Now I want you to know this is not talking about you get up the next morning and your leg's really hurting really bad, so I'm suffering. Oh Lord, help me through this trial that I'm going. No. This is the type that comes about because you are following Jesus Christ. In other words, you're being persecuted for your stand in Christ. Okay? I just want to make that clear because that changes a lot of things. But how are we persecuted today? That's a good question. I mean, we're not being nailed up on crosses. We're not being shot in schools or churches. Oh, yeah, I guess we are. Well, at least we're not losing friends over our stand in Christ. No, that's happening too. Well, like when we take classes, our professors don't mock us or anything, right? They do. How about parents? Some of y'all, your parents have disowned you. Maybe not here. I know we've had some. Very possible that your children may want to have nothing else to do with you. You may lose your job. Certain countries, you can't get food. You may die. Your classmates may want to have nothing to do with you. Other Christians may want nothing to do with you. Wives and husbands will be separated because one will believe and one will not. Persecution? Yeah, it's here. And he says, "In this you greatly rejoice." Even though you're going to go through this. Because your faith is of greater worth than gold. And it will be proved genuine. But what's the result? It's going to result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Big thing? Oh, yeah, that's a pretty cool thing. Very big deal. See, he's the one, remember, that died for us, resurrected. You remember that guy? Who makes this promised inheritance for us real? Guys, we have a lot to continue our hope for. This life is really incredible as we focus on God. But when you begin to focus on the stuff around us, the circumstances of our daily life, if that's where you're staying focused, you're not going to make it. You just won't make it. And it continues on. It says, "Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls." In John 20:29, Jesus told the man, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Y'all haven't seen Jesus. But he says you love him. How can we love a Jesus who we've not seen? See, that's the difficult thing for us to explain to people. That's why they have to see Jesus in us. It's my experience with Jesus that I know he's real. Those things that only God can do in my life, that's Jesus. That's the Holy Spirit moving in me. It's incredible. If it hasn't happened for you, if you've not experienced Jesus in your life, have you ever considered maybe you've really never given your life to him? Don't deceive yourself. This is really important. If you're thinking, well, I just want to fool everybody and I'll figure this out before I die. Well, you're not promised tomorrow. Not promised much time at all. Someone informed me last week that they had a dream of me being killed at some cafeteria with this big glass thing, so I've been kind of staying away from those. Don't share those dreams with me, really. Thank you so much. I just enjoy that encouragement. We celebrate our living hope because God's plan of salvation through faith by grace was always the plan. It says, concerning this salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you searched intently and with the greatest care, trying to find out the time and circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you, when they spoke of the things that have now been told you by those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Even angels long to look into these things. You see, God's plan of salvation was never a last-minute strategy, but instead was the plan from the very beginning. Everything he did in Scripture pointed to Christ, Old Testament included. Everything he prepared his people to know their Messiah and Savior. As in last week's passage, God chose us for this. We were claimed by him for his glory and purposes. Throughout history, he has spoken through his people for the sake of those who are still to come. That's us when they were speaking. God started at the beginning of time, drawing us to him. Everything he did thousands of years ago ended up in you believing in him. Out of his love, you have come to know him and have received him and live in his grace that he has provided. Celebration. You remember who it was Peter was writing again? These people needed hope. Does it sound like they didn't have any as they were going around preaching to people? Would you be able to do that? Jesus Christ is real. He does live in your life. He does move in your life. He is tangible. He's not just some made-up thought in my head. And he will express himself in our lives. Even as we finish here today, we're getting ready to sing some more songs. Celebration. Y'all even know what Scripture says about celebration? This is incredible. I got to show you something here real quick. I'm not going to dance or anything, so don't worry about it. Rachel's going to do that for me. You said you would, right?
Yeah.
Are you? Okay, just a minute. In the Bible, God describes so many different ways in which people have worshipped him. This was never one of them. Now, okay. All this may be new to you and scary. By the way, I was born a Baptist. Back in 1962, born, we were taught lifting of the hands was wrong. We were taught getting on your knees. Anything that it had any movement of the body to it, I really believe in my church, I would have been asked to just go on outside, please, sir. Okay? Literally at birth. I mean, I have this little 18-year pin of perfect attendance from my hometown. 18 years. Never missed a single Sunday. Now, do you think I'm traditional? I was. I know exactly how they feel. First time I saw people lifting their hands, I'd come down here and I saw some people. I was just going, oh my goodness, look how they're trying to draw attention to themselves. God is so going to get them one day. They're going to meet Him in heaven. Look at that person laying on the floor down. Oh, come on. Y'all, this isn't about you. So I made sure I did the right Baptist thing. Oh, hold it. I had the hymnal, of course. So my worship was making sure I sang in harmony with everybody through the hymnal. You see, that's how you worshiped. And you really concentrated on whether your notes sounded good with the next person next to you. And that would somehow please God. I went to a Promise Keepers one time, and the guy says, okay, I want everybody to raise their hands. And I was sitting there. Everybody around me was. Even the guys I'd gone to, and my arms were like, I was like this. I hope nobody's seeing me. I'm looking around. And he begins to read Scripture. Oh. And he started describing the postures of worship, of the bowing down, of laying out just flat before your God, of lifting up holy hands to Him. And at that moment, I realized I was the one God was going to be talking to. I'd never given my heart over to Him to worship. I didn't even know what worship was, because I'd followed tradition instead of God. This celebration I'm talking about, don't let tradition stand in your way. Don't let other people, what you think they're going to think of you, stand in the way. Worship God. Let Him be real in your life. And it's not just in here. It's when you leave this place that true worship's going to happen. Worship's going to be about when you begin to be obedient to Christ, even outside these walls. When you start talking about Jesus Christ as just part of your day, just like the weather and sports. How you doing today? Man, I'm so blessed. Jesus this morning, He was incredible through the Bible study. Oh, and the weather was really cool while I was out there too. And oh, did you see the score last? You know, it's like, and they're still stuck on the Jesus thing. They didn't hear a thing you said after. Jesus? Yeah? But you see, that's really what it's like. If you start talking about Jesus, they just... By the way, I have no idea how much time I've used. So, hope we're doing fine. I'm about to be done. Y'all, I just want you to know tonight, we have something to celebrate. Okay? So I'm going to pray, and the band's going to come up here. And tonight, maybe for the first time, celebrate and worship our God. Praise the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ! Exclamation point. Father, You are so worthy. Lord, it's not about our hands, our arms, but it's about our hearts. What's in our hearts overflows out of our mouth. It overflows just in our whole posture. Lord, if we're bored of You, it's going to show. If we don't care about You, it's going to show. If we love You, that's going to show too. Just as I'm greeted by my little daughter when I come home and she says, Daddy, Daddy! That's our love for You. Lord, You are so worthy. And You have given us new birth into this living hope, into an inheritance that never perishes, spoils, or fades. You are our shield. You watch over us. You protect us. Father, our lives are in Your hands. And tonight, I just call on You to take us and make us whatever You want. Amen. Now, this altar is going to be open for you. This altar is open for you to come and pray before God, to just give over those things that you've said you can't have it. And it may even be your life that you just told God, nope, this is mine. And I don't even believe You, and I guess you wouldn't be talking to Him either. But He's real. I'll be down here if you want to talk. Brian's down here. Really, a lot of these people here can talk to you about Jesus Christ if you want. if you're going through some difficult times and trying or finding it hard to find hope, grab somebody and share your difficulties. We are a body. Don't just be some toenail that gets flung off to the side. That's kind of gross. But it happens in my house. Y'all worship now.